We'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their continued connections to land, sea, and culture. We pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people listening in today. This podcast is being recorded from the land of the Wurundjeri people. Welcome to today's podcast, brought to you by BioMelbourne Network. We're excited that you've joined us here today. Today, we're covering the topic of special visa schemes. Australia wants to attract talented people from all over the world. Australia and Victoria both have exciting opportunities that are available for Australian companies recruiting internationally or individuals from overseas who want to work in Australia. I'm your podcast host and the CEO of BioMelbourne Network, Jeff Malone, and today I'm going to chat with Marilyn Jones, Sarah Thapa, and Fiona Lasut to explore these opportunities so you'll know how you or your company can take advantage of these visas. Brought to you by BioMelbourne Network with the support of our podcast partners, MegZec and the Migration Agency. All right, so here we are, Marilyn, Sarah, Fiona. We have had quite a journey over the last few months to arrive here at this podcast today. So I thought maybe we'll start with Sarah and Marilyn and then circle back to you, Fiona, if we can. Maybe if you could take a moment, Marilyn, and just introduce yourself and a little bit your story, we could have Fiona do the same, and then we could just talk a little bit about the journey to get here today.
Fabulous. Great to be here today. So really it was around us missing out in the sector. So I'm a biotech and a healthcare recruiter, and I've been recruiting now for 20 odd years in the sector. And I had started to hear about this global talent visa and people actually arriving in Australia through this very special pathway. What it really came down to was I'd heard about it, but I thought, you know, other industry sectors were, when I went to Recruiters Association, talking about it, but our sector wasn't. So I decided to do something about it. So I got together the number of the membership groups, which I'm part of. They include AusBiotech, ARCS, BioMelbourne, of course, and also invited Melbourne Medicines Australia, Western Australian Life Science, Queensland's Life Sciences. And we all got together with Sarah's assistance to speak to Peter Vera at the Home Affairs Department. And so really it's gone from there. And Jeff was really great. He came on the talk with us and he was really enthusiastic about getting the messaging out and sort of talking to the sector and making sure all the candidates and all the companies within our sector knew that it was there. And I think that's what we're about, is I just really wanted to make sure that everyone knew about it and that it was an opportunity to help grow the ecosystem here. So how I met Sarah, actually virtually, which was really interesting because we weren't able to go to ARCS conference with Sydney being in lockdown. It was pretty stressful that week. We thought we were going to get there and then we did and then we didn't. And so I had a student that was supplied by ARCS that looked after our stand, and my student took a phone around to all the different stands and we just said hello to everyone virtually. And Sarah was talking, she had a stand there and I was able to engage with her, and I just was really impressed with how well she engaged me on that phone call. We then connected afterwards and had further discussions, and it was really a partnership between the two of us around how can we get the messaging out. And so that sort of leads into Sarah, because I think the migration sector is very complex and complicated, and I don't know much about it. I do know a lot more about it now, but I think it's important to have experts in the field come in and help understand and teach us what the real intricacies are around it. So that's where Sarah came in.
Well, Sarah, maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and the Migration Agency.
Yep. Thanks, Jeff. And thanks, Marilyn, for the introduction. So I'm an immigration lawyer by trade, but I'm also the managing director of the Migration Agency. So we're an immigration law firm based in Sydney, Australia, but we have a presence internationally as well. And for quite some time, we've been servicing organisations, pharmaceutical companies, medical device companies, clinical research companies to handle their immigration programs. So that includes assisting them with, you know, staff mobility, hiring people on visas, some international recruitment. And we've also been talking to them about this new global talent program and some of the other visa initiatives that are available to attract talent. And what became obvious to me was that there was a bit of a knowledge gap in the sector about the immigration solutions that are available, despite the fact that there are some major shortages of talent in a number of different, you know, fields in the sector. And so I became a bit of an advocate for global talent recruitment. And so I'm very passionate about talking to organisations about how they can think about global talent as a part of their, you know, general recruitment, talent acquisition, retention strategy. And I think now more than ever, this is really important for organisations to think about, particularly with the impact of COVID and the way that the labour market has increased pressure put on it, that organisations think outside of the box and you know, immigration could be part of the solution. So yeah, I've worked with Marilyn for some time now since we met at that ARCS conference. It's been a wonderful collaboration because, you know, recruitment and immigration do go very closely together. And with the Global Talent Program, so does industry engagement. And we'll get into a little bit more about how, you know, the different stakeholders can collaborate in this area. So I'm delighted to be here today to share some insights into the intricacies, maybe also do a bit of myth busting so that people get an accurate understanding of what the immigration and visa options are, whether they're a candidate or an organisation. But, you know, the smart organisations and the mobile candidates are looking into this. So I think it's, you know, it's only a matter of time before, you know, this is sort of a program or these activities are more broadly done by across the sector. So I think it's a good time for incorporating this into some business planning now.
Fully agree. And I spoke with Shani Dyer, speaking of ARCS, I spoke with Shani Dyer at the end of November, and they completed their workforce capacity and capability summit. And the initial outcome of that certainly reinforces the message here today that this is a real gap.
It is.
And the value in these programs that we're going to discuss today are certainly enforced by this report that's going to be coming out from ARCS very soon. So I think without further ado, maybe we can jump right in to discuss some of the fundamentals of the program, what it is and who it's for, and why is it even being offered? Where did it come from?
Thanks, Jeff. So the Global Talent Program was introduced in 2019 as a pilot by the Australian government. So it was the intention was to find more innovative ways that the government could work to fill shortages in some of the more innovative sectors in Australia. And so there's a couple of components to the Global Attraction program, some relating to business, entrepreneurs, investors. But the one that we're talking mostly about today is the Global Talent Independent Visa, which is a fast-tracked permanent residency pathway for exceptional talent. They need to be skilled in one of the target sectors that the government is looking to attract people in, and the health and life sciences sector is one of the target sectors. So that's sort of how it was initiated. What we've seen since the outbreak of COVID in March 2020 was that the government really ramped up its efforts to promote this program because they recognised that Australia was a very attractive destination in terms of the way that it handled the health risks around the pandemic. Australia became, you know, an attractive destination for candidates, for businesses setting up operations in Australia because of the greater freedoms that existed here compared to the rest of the world. And so if you listen to the words of Peter Verwer, the special envoy in the Global Talent Attraction Task Force, he says, you know, there's never been a better time to promote Australia. Australia has a real competitive advantage at the moment. And so how can we use that to our gain and create a brain attraction, a brain gain to Australia? And as this program has evolved and there's been engagement within different sectors, it's really taken off. It's become quite popular. Now we're seeing a lot more utilisation of it in a number of different sectors. There's definitely an opportunity for greater utilisation in the health and life sciences sector. That's sort of how it originated.
So, Sarah, let me ask a question. A couple things following up. One, who can apply for this? Is it just large companies or SMEs who have to apply to identify this a person who's of interest and have them come in? Or can an individual apply for this themselves, even if they don't have employment secured?
So there are a number of ways that people can be connected to the Global Talent Program. The government itself has talent scouts, or they call them global talent officers, that are scouring the world to look for potential talent to invite. So you can be invited by the government directly. Another common channel is through employment. So candidates who are employed in Australia may be, you know, endorsed by their company for the Global Talent Program. Or candidates can apply directly. They don't need to have employment in Australia. It's one of the distinct differences between the Global Talent Program compared to other visas, where you do need to have a job offer, you know, in the case of the state programs, or you need to have you need to be in employment in the case of employer-sponsored visas. The Global Talent Program doesn't require employment. So candidates can apply directly. One of the things that Marilyn and I have been working on recently is helping to connect candidates to organisations that can help facilitate their immigration process, because the Global Talent Visa does require nomination from an Australian body or individual who's skilled in their field of expertise. So that could be an industry body, an employer, an individual who's, you know, renowned in their field. So those are the ways that people could be connected into the program.
Is that how you get identified as a global talent? Is by that through the nomination process?
Yes, the nomination process is fundamental to being invited to the program. So a candidate who approaches, say, Marilyn seeking employment in Australia, or who approaches myself or my team seeking a visa solution to Australia, may not have a nominator, and they will ask us for assistance to connect them to one that's appropriate given their skills and expertise. And the nomination is really important. When they express interest in the program and seek an invitation, they need to show that they've got a nominator who's willing to endorse that they would be of benefit to Australia if they were offered a place.
You said it's been going for a period of time. I hear I don't know how many have been already issued, but I hear there's still 6,000 or 7,000 available is it mid next year?
That's correct. So the planning levels for all visa programs go from 1st of July to 30th of June. This year, I'd need to double check the numbers, but I think there's around 11 or 12,000 places in total for global talent candidates. Where we're at in terms of, you know, the number of places that have been offered compared to the number of places remaining, I'm not entirely sure, but there are certainly a good number of places available. And if they're not used, they're forfeited. They don't carry over. If the program is not fully utilised, that can also affect planning levels in future. So we did see a drop compared to 2020-21 financial year, where there were 15,000 places that year, and it reduced in line with actual utilisation. So okay. I think the message is make sure we use it or we lose it.
Are there specific visas allocated towards an industry, or is it a free-for-all and anybody can come in and pluck one out of the pile?
There's no allocation of these visas by industry type. So if another industry is actively using the Global Talent Program, they'll hoover up all of those places, okay. Which is why it's important as a sector that there's good understanding of how to access and utilise the program, so that, you know, the sector is getting maximum benefit of it and is getting the talent that it needs.
So we should start hoovering.
I think that's where I was feeling like we were missing out, because every sector at my Recruiters Association meeting knew about it, or financial industries, all other industries were doing a lot of work around it. And now I was hearing about it a bit, but it really wasn't actively out there.
So tell us more about that history of what are other industries doing? Why do you feel like they're more engaged in it? They know more about it, or they are more actively pursuing those fields? I mean, it's not like our industry doesn't have a need for global talent to be attracted to Australia. So what do you think the difference is between some of them and what we're experiencing in the health tech industry?
Look, Sarah may be better to reflect that, but I think just the awareness maybe from, you know, Home Affairs at that stage, they did have a focus on medical technologies and the sector. However, it takes time sometimes for that messaging to start to filter down and for that messaging to go out. And I think that's where now we're a little bit behind the case, but we're starting now, I think, to catch up. I know we've been sending a number of candidates through to Sarah to review and to have a look, and I've been speaking to candidates, and there's quite a few, hopefully, in the future that will get that opportunity. And even like PhDs in Australia,
right.
We've been encouraging them, if they're from overseas, they can actually get their university to support and sponsor them. It's an amazing visa and a great opportunity to. And the families, that's the other thing I think we need to be aware of. It's not just the individual, it's the whole family
right.
can get permanent residency and move and live here ongoing.
That's an amazing difference
and
amazing process. And it's great support to have in hand. And part of the reason, you know, you've just summarized very well, part of the reason we're all here today is just to raise that awareness, just to get the word out, to spread the word out, to not tell everybody every detail of the program, but to at least let them know, this is what's available. Reach out and learn more. And we're going to certainly do that at the end of the podcast and provide some more details so that you can follow up, find out more information from Marilyn or Sarah or Fiona or directly into the programs with Home Affairs.
Look, I mean, I spoke at AusBiotech recently. I was able to talk about it there. I know Medicines Australia are talking about it and ARCs are very proactive around it. Particularly, I did go to that Work Skills Summit. I intended going for 10 minutes for each session. I ended up there pretty well the whole time. And there's a lot of skills lacking in Australia. And I think, you know, 20 years ago, we had skills lacking in certain areas. I was doing clinical project managers back then, couldn't find people, difficult. And we're still in the same situation 20 years later. And I think that's something we have to address. And it's not just immigration. It's about, you know, we talked at that summit around the local training. But I think, you know, the shorter term is something where these visas are really going to offer opportunities for our companies, for our candidates, and then they actually train. I mean, my husband's English. I had to import one, you know. And look, he was a global product manager. He's now working in Australia globally, and he's trained people, and he's really... So I think, I mean, maybe that's a personal aspect, but I mean, a lot of my friends have immigrants on visas, and look at the value they add to our economy going forward. So I think... You know, it's a really important part of making sure that the sector is competitive worldwide.
Yeah.
Is to make sure we get on top of it and get on top of it. And I think the associations like yourself are really the way and the conduit to get the messaging out.
I mean, I came here on a 457 visa in 2010.
Mm. There you go.
And sort of made my way from there. So which is a program that doesn't exist anymore. But that's
what's really interesting about this program. I was speaking to an American as well who had come in on his a partner, and he said it took about 10 years to get permanent residency. And he said to me, "You're joking, this is not real." He was actually incredulous that this visa was around. And I said, no, it's real. Like, you can do this. And he was like, oh, you know, and that's the thing. People don't realise that it's actually a very, and the other thing is, it's, I know I said before, it's intricate, but it's actually been a really easy process. And I know Shani at ARCS made that comment as well. The process is very straightforward. They do prefer to have immigration advice and advisors because that process can then be more streamlined. But It's a really great process.
BioMelbourne Network proudly serves as the peak body for the health tech industry in Victoria. Our members are world-leading researchers, innovators, business people, experts in their fields, all contributing to Victoria's economy. So if I'm a global talent, or I identify myself as one, or someone points me out as one, either from I'm an individual and I'd like to apply for this. I'm listening to this podcast today and say I'd like to raise my hand to do that, or I'm a company who'd like to take advantage of this program. Certainly, they can reach out to Home Affairs or to either of you today. Mm-hmm. But in general, what's the process? How do they get started?
I think the website's got a lot of information initially is a really great, and then we often refer people through to that. But I actually, candidates that come through us now that are looking for visa options, I send through to Sarah. And I think that's the pathway that I'm using at the moment. So is that answering the question?
Well, certainly when I immigrated here, no matter where you come from, the process is intimidating or can be. And it doesn't mean it's difficult. It doesn't mean it's bad. Mm. It's just when you're coming from the outside and English is a relatively, you know, I'm relatively fluent in it. I'm not always proving that today, but let me start again. Anyway.
That's a long pause there for everyone. At least you can do, at least this is live.
Little pause for the cause, right? No, I was just going to say that the process can be intimidating for anyone. Mm-hmm. I'm an English speaker. I come from the U.S. and still coming here and trying to navigate the process, no matter how clear it is, can be very difficult. And imagine somebody coming from another country or who doesn't speak English as a first language can really provide a major barrier to even wanting to engage in the process. Mm-hmm. So I think, certainly reaching out to Home Affairs or the Victorian government, but also I think for myself, my experience was reaching out to a migration agent mm-hmm. was the key for me because it helped me just have the confidence in taking the next steps. So
I'll add something just with that. We have a niche program, which is actually MexSec Job Strategy. And we're working actually, one of my clients who has internationals that they sponsor, their partners are scientists as well. So we actually have a program where we can help them understand the Australian landscape. And so it's a structured program around where are the jobs, how do you write your CV for the Australian marketplace, and how do you, and they've got network groups on there, such as all the ones like by Melbourne and all the rest, because when you're coming into an Australian market, you don't always have those connections of the people who know where to find the right people, you know, to talk to. So that's actually something at MexSec that even though we do the recruitment, we actually have this other program, and we're going to be, we've started doing that with migration candidates. Great. But also we're going to be developing that as something I really think to support the individuals coming into Australia to make sure that they do find where the right opportunities are. Because it's good enough to come here, but if you can't find the right opportunity, you don't know how to connect, then, you know, that's going to be a problem for them.
Which is key, there have been examples of people coming and really struggling to make that last, you know, getting 99% of the way, but not really connecting in opportunities, et cetera. So it's really about making sure that there's that full, that full scope of support from the application process all the way through. And the good news is there's a very supportive network here in Australia, mm-hmm. certainly here in Victoria, to help you do that. And so that's part of the reason why we're involved as well, is to raise awareness and also to help with those connections.
I'll just add to that, Jeff, in terms of the process and how one would go about it. The Global Talent Program sounds like it's for only the most exceptional, top-notch, elite candidates to apply for. And that is a bit of a misconception, and I think that could be contributing to the underutilization of the program. I've met many candidates who have said, oh, no, I'm not a global talent. All I do is run this global clinical trial. And we say, right, that's interesting. So you're running clinical trials and they've got an international reach and, you know, what's the impact internationally and on Australia? And we say, actually, you are a global talent. You could apply. So I think if someone is interested in looking at this program, the greatest value is probably upfront with the eligibility assessment, having a look at a candidate's profile and determining whether they're a good match for the Global Talent Program. That's really important. And what we're finding is that many candidates who've worked internationally, have worked in reputable organisations, have been doing work of international significance, can qualify. So that's great news. You don't need to be the inventor of the new drug or the new medical device. We've also helped people obtain global talent visas if they're involved in the commercialization of that drug, or they've been involved in the research team, or they are leading clinical operations teams. So it's quite diverse, the type of skills that people can hold for the program. So that would really be the first point of call, to have a look at some of the online information and then get your skills assessed.
Yeah, I think that's...
if you fall within it.
That's a great point. And I'm a mentor with IMNIS, mm-hmm. and one of my mentees is, I found out the other day, is a is a recipient of the Global Talent Visa.
Fabulous.
And he's a PhD, and he's about to get, you know, he's just gotten his, so he's early postdoc. He's just really getting started on his career, but he certainly fit all the, he ticked all the boxes for the Global Talent Visa, and he's here. So I think the message that we're all trying to send is, don't rule yourself out. If it's something that sounds interesting to you, or as an individual, or you're a company who is looking for talent for some of your roles, look out, get more information, and see whether this program is a good fit for you.
One of the other things that actually happened this morning is I was speaking to a client about a role, and it's a global it could potentially be a global search, because I know that it's very difficult to find this particular type of person in Australia. So I have now the confidence that I can go out to market in the UK, in the US, and potentially search for someone knowing that they would meet the global talent visa requirements and would be able to bring that person in for that company. So it's around a proactive approach rather than a sort of a approach from candidates as well. So that's an advantage, I think, for the companies to think about.
Great.
Is, you know, that access to global talent is we can actively look at doing and approaching the right people for them now.
So one of the questions we talked about was about the closing date, which is at the end of June in 2022. Is there another round after that, or is that the end of the program period?
Yes, so the program will reopen again from the 1st of July. We're not expecting the Global Talent Program to go anywhere. It's pretty embedded. And in fact, since the COVID pandemic broke last year, it's become the highest priority program out of all the different immigration visa programs that the government runs. So there was a directive given earlier this year in terms of how different types of visas are to be prioritised by the government, and the number one spot is the Global Talent Program. So that's why we're seeing such quick turnaround times. We've had some candidates who have expressed interest in the program and they've received an invitation to apply within a couple of days, and then we've seen their visas processed within a couple of weeks.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. If you look at Marilyn's situation that she was talking about before, where someone was waiting 10 years and now we can get someone permanent residency within weeks, that's just fantastic. So the fact that, you know, this is available for us to use for some of these candidates, I mean, why wouldn't you look at it?
Absolutely.
And Marilyn touched upon, you know, doing international recruitment now more confidently. I think with the labour market being so globalised now, and accessibility to talent and barriers to hiring international talent are lower than ever, I think international recruitment is just going to be on the rise. There's maybe a bit of a mindset shift, though, that needs to happen within industry. I was really interested to see at the ARCS summit recently the outcome of a survey that they ran with organisations in this sector. And I was looking at the visa results, obviously, and the uptake in terms of hiring people on visas, sponsoring people on visas, nominating people on visas is quite low for such a global sector. You know, it's not a national sector at all. There's international reach, so the labour market therefore is also international, and it's important to take a more international approach, in my opinion. So, you know, I think it's an exciting opportunity to look at the Global Talent Program, given the speed at which you can now bring people to Australia. Another key point is there are border restrictions in place at the moment. We're hoping they'll ease shortly. But for now, most temporary visa holders need an exemption to enter Australia. There are travel exemption pathways available for the health and life sciences sector, which is great. They're not always easy to get, but they're available, so international recruitment's possible. But the Global Talent Program means you don't need to request an exemption. You're automatically exempt to travel to Australia as a permanent resident. So you get a fast visa and you get entry to Australia during COVID.
Great. I think that's really given us a good broad overview of the Global Talent Visa Program, and I think it's a really good lead-in, because with that base of understanding of that program, I'd like to turn our attention over to Fiona. And Fiona Lassute has more than 15 years' experience in communications, media, digital strategy, and marketing. And she's currently with the Victorian Department of Jobs, Precincts, and Regions. Prior to that, she worked for the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade in Canberra, coordinating communications for more than 330 embassies and consulates around the world. And she's here today to tell us a little bit about a Victorian program that we sort of uncovered during this process of putting together the podcast. We actually contacted Andrew Tulloch, who is also with the department, and asked for their involvement, and he immediately offered us Fiona to come and tell us a little bit more about this program. So we hadn't quite even realized there was the Victorian program in place, and so it was a pleasant surprise. And we're very much glad to have you here, and welcome to the podcast. And maybe introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the program.
Thanks, Jeff. Yes, it's great to be here. And you're right, a lot of people don't know about the Victorian Visa Nomination Program. It's another visa within the migration system. It's a lesser-known sibling to the Global Talent Visa, but it's an important visa because it allows states and territories to select and nominate the skilled professionals, the business people, or the investors that they want in their jurisdiction. So it offers a pathway to permanent residency, like the Global Talent Visa. And with borders closed, the Victorian government is only allowing people who are living and working in Victoria to apply for a Victorian visa nomination. So it's beneficial for people who are on temporary working visas or international student graduate visas.
Oh, great. So you're already here, you're interested in staying, and this is a whole new pathway for you because you may be struggling to find that next step in your career path here in Victoria if you don't have permanent residency.
That's right. And some of the people that I've spoken to who we've nominated for this visa have, they've been stressed. They haven't got a pathway to permanent residency. They're always on the lookout for a new employment contract. It's unsettling. It's always that niggling, anxious feeling. Someone we spoke to recently was Dr. Emily Edwards, who she's a research scientist from the UK, and she works for the Monash University and the Alfred Hospital. And she specialises in immune responses to viruses. She had been in Australia for 5 years on various temporary working visas, looking for a way to stay in Victoria because she loves her work. And she looked into the Global Talent Visa, didn't think that it was for her. The thresholds seemed really high with the salary minimum as well as the points requirements. Mm. And it was only because her head of faculty had posted on a notice board that, the staff should go and check out this Victorian Visa Nomination Program that she looked into it. And lo and behold, she applied, and we in the Victorian government recognised the valuable contribution that she was making, especially in the pandemic. So we nominated her, and she's got a pathway to permanent residency, and she was overjoyed.
We represent members at all stages of their careers, from early researchers to CEOs, and organizations from the smallest startup to the largest multinational corporation. And we are well supported by the Victorian government. A little insight into my story. When I came here on a 457, of course, you're working, you're happy, but if you want to change jobs, or if you're not happy in the job you're in, or that job you're in is coming to a close for whatever reason, and you've built a life, and you're sitting here with your family, and your children are born here, and you're sitting here, and you're hopeful that you can stay here and become a permanent resident and eventually a citizen. The idea that you've got this very quickly closing window is very stressful. And I experienced that myself, where you're wondering day to day, what is the next year going to be for me? Am I going to be here? Am I going to have to be moving? So I can tell you that I have a very personal appreciation for the program and the value it brings to those people who are in that very challenged space. So I'm really glad to hear more about that. Marilyn,
one thing I was going to ask you about was the
the employers are reluctant to take on people unless they have permanent residency. A lot of my employers I speak to, because, you know, we work on behalf of them, because of that risk that they're going to leave. Whereas this opens up an opportunity for them independent of that company, exactly. So that there's like any other candidate in the market. What is the processing time and sort of what are the criteria? I suppose, Jeff, you'll go into some of that. But it's really exciting because I've got a lot of candidates coming through us that would love to talk to you, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And if you have candidates who have STEM skills, so science, technology, engineering, maths, medical skills, the Victorian government is really interested in retaining that talent in our jurisdiction. So, you know, we encourage you to register your interest and to apply. The processing times are not as quick as the global talent visa, but having said that, once you put in a registration of interest, we select you to apply for one of the skilled visas. Department of Home Affairs have processed anywhere between 2 months to, you know, 3 or 4 months lately. So it's, you know, it's not too long. It's not 10 years, but it is a few more months.
And you don't have to have a job while you're doing that. So you can be unemployed or you can be a student, but what about employment?
Employment is important. So we've changed criteria since the pandemic, and every state and territory has their own criteria. But in Victoria, we do need people to be working and living in the state. And so you need to show that with your pay slips.
What kind of work?
My next question to you.
Okay. So I mentioned STEM skills. So we want you to have science, technology, engineering, maths and medical skills, and you should be working in one of our target sectors. So it's very similar to the global talent visas target sectors. You should be working to support agri-food, health, medical research, digital, advanced manufacturing, emissions reductions and creative industries, particularly in the digital games area.
So how many visas are available now? Is it similar to the Global Talent Visa where every year there's a certain number made available? And I assume there'll be X amount available to the end of June and then a new round opens. Maybe you can inform us a little bit more about what that looks like.
Yeah, so you're right. Every year the Department of Home Affairs allocates the states and territories a number of skilled and business and investor visas. So in the skilled program this year, the Victorian government has 4,000 visas to hand out. And for the business and investor visas, we have 1,750. With the allocations, they either run out by the 30th of June or we close for the skilled program on the 29th of April. That's when we stopped accepting. And so we have a little bit more time to process all the applications up to the 30th of June, and then we start again on the 1st of July.
So you'll take more applications again at that time.
Yeah, and that depends on how many allocations the Department of Home Affairs gives us. And like Sarah said, if we don't lose it, if we don't use it, then we lose it. So we try to fill as many places as we can.
Okay, so do you typically fill most of those slots? Is that been the history?
Prior to last year, yes. It was, so 2020 was a different year, and we did start later in the program.
It was a different year.
It was very different. We used to have an occupation list. We didn't have that anymore. And then it was all about contribution to the state and, you know, last year was about health and medical research skills. This year we've opened it up to more target sectors. But because we were setting up a new policy, making sure that we didn't displace local job seekers, there was a real focus on that. We didn't fill up all the places, but this year we anticipate on filling up every single spot.
So Fiona, what are some of the benefits to companies by taking advantage of this Victorian migration visa?
So the great thing about this visa is that it doesn't tie any company to any employer. So there's no cost to the company. And it's if you've got a talented person working for you that meets the criteria for our Victorian skilled visa, then you should encourage that person to apply directly or through a migration agent. They can go to our website, liveinmelbourne.vic.gov.au, and check out the criteria. But for companies, there's all the upsides, but no downsides, no costs, no requirements from them.
Okay.
So that's where, as a recruiter, I've actually done market assessments for companies where you actually have to show that there is no one actually available in the market to meet the criteria for that job. And so you have to advertise it on like 3 or 4 different websites, as well as the Job Active. For over a month, you have to write letters of documentation that that skill, there is no one in the market that can meet that. And so you're wasting time. But if you've got a candidate that can go through the visa process who's working there and can do it independently, it's great. It's going to save companies. I can think of 2 or 3 companies I've worked with that I've done, where it's going to save them an awful lot of time and hassle and money, I think. And Sarah can elaborate probably on that as well.
Yeah, Sarah?
Yeah, I agree. I think for employers, there's not really a downside. I guess if the processing times are speedy and there's sufficient time left on the person's visa to get that invitation and apply for the visa, then, you know, that's great. I always think forward planning is really important. So an astute employer will be, you know, encouraging their staff to get onto state-nominated visa ASAP, not leave it until the end of their current graduate or working visa. From a candidate's perspective, I suppose one distinction between the Global Talent Program and the state-nominated program is that the Global Talent Program doesn't require an applicant to pass a skills assessment, but they need to provide exceptional benefit. They need to have the potential to provide exceptional benefit to Australia. And as Fiona alluded to before, they need to have the potential to earn above the Fair Work High Income threshold, which is around $158,000. Doesn't mean they have to be actually earning that, but they need the potential to at some point in their career. And that doesn't exist for the Victorian program. So that's, again, why it's great for younger talent that wants to remain in Victoria, but they will need to pass a skills assessment in their nominated occupation. So that requires that they go off to an independent skills assessment body who will assess their skills to confirm that they are indeed skilled in that area. Usually qualifications and experience is required in order for them to pass that. So that is a prerequisite for the state nominated program.
Visit our website to find out more about how we can help you to get engaged and get involved to support strengthening the health tech industry in Victoria. So, Sarah, we've talked a lot about the various elements of the Global Talent Visa program, but maybe an example or two would really be helpful to paint a picture to people about the real experience of going through the Global Talent Visa application and acceptance process. And I understand you have a couple to provide for us today.
Sure. So we mentioned that Marilyn and the MEGSEC recruitment team have been referring some candidates to us, and we assess their eligibility for the Global Talent Program. And there's a couple actually that we've put through, which I think is a great, you know, way to demonstrate some examples of the sorts of candidates that can qualify. So one of them holds a PhD and works in the field of comparative immunology at a university in Victoria. And so he's been studying the immune mechanism of Australian animals that are at risk of endangerment. And it's been interesting because the knowledge gained by his research has the potential to impact on Australian wildlife conservation. So it was quite easy for us once we dug into his research and understood what he was doing to demonstrate that, you know, he holds a PhD, so he qualified under the PhD stream of the Global Talent Program, but also to be able to demonstrate that he's helping to address, you know, potential animal extinction in Australia for some of our most valued animals, like Tasmanian devils and platypus, right, and koalas and animals like that. You know, we've been able to put forward a good case for him to be invited for the Global Talent Program. He was nominated by his employer. Another example is, again, a PhD holder who's held leadership positions, so senior positions within pharmaceutical and clinical research organisations. And so his involvement in, you know, the development of drugs and medical devices, managing global clinical trials, not only for national organisations that have an international reputation, but also for international organisations, meant that he was a great candidate for the Global Talent Program. He didn't have any connection to employment yet because he's based overseas. So we connected him to an industry body to do the nomination. So he is well on his way to get a global talent visa as well. So you can see that there are many different types of individuals that can qualify. The PhD stream is for people who have recently completed deep research in the health and life sciences field, or they can hold senior positions within organisations of international renown and apply through that pathway.
Great. That's. I think that really will help people understand a little bit more that it's not just big corporations. It's not just those people who are, you know, you don't have to see them on the news to be able to be eligible for the Global Talent Visa. And I think there's a lot of people out there who certainly would qualify and would like to do this. And once again, the very reason we're all here today is to help educate and raise awareness of this issue. And so that, I think, we've done with, very successfully. So I really appreciate everyone coming here today and joining me for the podcast. Certainly, thank you to Sarah Thapa with the Migration Agency, Marilyn Jones, who's Executive Recruiter Scientist and Director of MEGZEC, her own company, and Fiona Lassute, who is with the Department of Jobs, Precincts, and Regions. So all of you, thank you for coming. Thank you for joining and providing insights into these really important programs. And to all of you who are listening here today, spread the word. Help us get the information out into the ecosystem. Help raise awareness so that we can strengthen the ecosystem here in Victoria and certainly around the country. So I'm going to go do a quick roundtable. Marilyn, I'm going to start with you. If there was one takeaway that someone who is listening here today should remember, what do you think that should be?
I think it's what I started with, which is don't miss out. Candidates and clients is a great opportunity to help build our ecosystem, so don't miss out.
If you're curious, go ahead and investigate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And look, you know, I'm available at Marilyn at MEGZEC. Please contact me direct. Always happy to email. We do follow up. Absolutely. I feel like part of our role is a connector, and it's really just about helping us to connect you, your company, or your individual into, you know, where you can actually find the right opportunity. So, yeah, very happy to talk to anyone anytime.
Great. Over to you, Sarah.
So my key takeaway is to tell people that despite the fact that immigration may look complex, there may seem to be a lot of rules and regulations and criteria, do reach out. You know, our role is to help you navigate through that complexity and make it come across really simple. The fact that Marilyn's takeaway earlier was, it seems really simple. I'm like, excellent, I'm doing my job. So reach out and, you know, make sure that you are getting a good understanding of the visa options that are available as an organisation. It's fundamental to workforce planning now to know how to engage with international talent. And for candidates, it's really important before starting the journey to get some good, accurate information up front, because these visas do require some forward planning to make sure that you're maximising your chances of success and not letting time escape. Anyone listening is very welcome to contact me as well. I'm at sarah@themigrationagency.com.au. And, you know, we'd be happy to help guide you on the different visa options that might be available, or as an organisation to do some strategic planning around international workforce options. And I'm really delighted that I've learnt a thing or two about the Victorian government's approach to attracting STEM skills today. I think that's a really interesting program, as well as the Global Talent Program. So there's just so many opportunities, and this is a constantly changing landscape. So that's why it's good to talk to some experts. And as Marilyn said, you know, we're happy to be part of the whole ecosystem and working collaboratively with all the different stakeholders that can help people connect into visas, jobs, you know, be meaningfully engaged once they're arriving into Australia or settling as permanent resident in Australia.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I mean, these programs are there. They're very open. They're solving real problems. But like with all things in life, the better prepared you are, the more able you are to take advantage of these things. So not only reach out, but start doing your due diligence, learning a little bit more, get prepared, and then jump in. Great. Fiona.
Yeah. So what I want people to know is that the Victorian government does want to keep highly skilled talent in the state, And if you know someone, or if you are someone with STEM skills, science, technology, engineering, maths, medical skills, and you're working in a target sector, so the ones I talked about, agri-food, health, medical research, digital, advanced manufacturing, emissions reduction, creative industries, then we want you. So go to our website. It's Live in Melbourne, the one word, so liveinmelbourne.vic.gov.au, and check out the eligibility criteria for our skilled visas, because you might be surprised. And if you want to stay in Victoria, then have a look and apply.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like more information on today's podcast, check out our show notes. Want to work on a podcast with us? Make contact and we can collaborate. Brought to you by BioMelbourne Network with the support of our podcast partners, MegZec and the Migration Agency.